Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. This is Spirit. Lead me to the Father, your host, Christ Lover. Let's begin our show today with a lovely song, Flaws.
Sometimes I talk a little too much, don't listen enough. Sometimes I hate the way I look when I look in the mirror. One look from you, I know my flaws. You love my flaws. Think they make me beautiful. You don't see them as flaws at all.
Good evening, good evening. This is Spirit. Lead me to the Father, your host, Christ Lover. Christ Lover, your host. I want to thank you and I welcome you for you being part of the show. Today, I thank my prayer family, my friends and family, loved ones, helping me and praying for me in this endeavor. I thank you so much again, Kade. I thank you so very much. Thank you for you being part of the show, new and old listeners. This I find so awesome, folks. I know, you know, as the world goes on, we are so focused on a lot of things, and we are focused on getting rich and getting money, and so many things can plague our life and cause distractions of all kinds. But dear friends, know this. Learn to sacrifice. Learn spiritual sacrifices. Learn them. I'm telling you, in those things, you get life again. In those things, you get life again. And they make you alive. And you become alive again. You know, Galatians chapter 1, verse 13 says something awesome. And it said, he who have delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, oh, the firstborn of every creature. Dear friends, God created us in his image. And even though God is spirit, he has an image. He has an image. Learn spiritual sacrifices. If you don't learn spiritual sacrifices, you will never be effective as a believer. You will never be effective as a believer. Trust me. If you don't learn them, oh, learn, dear friends. Learn. Today we're going to deal with a topic. Hallelujah. And I'm just feeling the Lord here. We're going to deal with a topic. It's called We Have Advantage. We have advantage. We don't have an advantage. We have the advantage. The advantage that overcome every evil. Jesus says, behold, I have given you power over every power of the enemy. So, dear friends, if he said, I've given you power over every power of the devil, guess what? The devil has power. Newsflash. The devil has power. But you must learn to strengthen your inner man, because your inner man must be strengthened with a supernatural power. We have the advantage. Hallelujah. We have the advantage. You know, when you go in life, go through life, and people do things to you, and know this. You must know this. Not believe it, not just say it, but you must know this. I've come to a place in my life that I've gone through so many things, and I've come to understand, and I've come to realize that God is with me, and God is for me. So regardless of what anyone does to me, dear friends, I seek no evil. But one thing I do know is God is with me. Therefore, if anything that is done to me, oh, the Lord has set your time. Your time would come. Your time will come. So I always leave it all in his hands, because he's the one that repays. Your time will come. I never forget, I went somewhere one time to a meeting, and you know, my mother has passed away now 8 years. And when I went in a meeting, and this minister was, you know, got a word of knowledge, and he called me up front, and he said, young man, you know, the crazy thing is, I have been praying, you know, when my mother passed, because someone did something to her, and I have been praying. And he looked at me, and he said, young man, the Lord said, I've heard the cry, because they took your mother from you. And he said, because you feel that pain, I too will give them pain. Because they have caused you this much pain by them taking your mother from you, I too will give them much more pain. And when you cry, they shall cry even harder. When you weep, they shall weep even harder. When you endure that pain, oh, their pain shall be much more. So, dear friends, I know my God is with me. If you know your God is with you, fear not. Fear not. What can man do unto you? Fear not. God is with you. Be not dismayed. Be not afraid. God is with you. You know, and that's one thing I hold dear. That's one thing I hold dear. I've learned to, you know, take my hands off stuff and let God be God. Because he knows how to repay. You know, he knows how to repay. This is what I tell you, dear friends. We have the advantage. Turn with me right quick to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse. I'm start with verse 1. I love this portion so much. You know, that's the crazy thing is when you develop love for God and his word, is supernatural, you know. And when you read every portion I read in the Bible, I love it. You know what I'm saying? I don't just like, I love it from my heart. And this portion is very powerful. It's very interesting. And it says in chapter verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know. Watch this. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. You know, so people don't just do supernatural stuff in the name of God. God has to be with them. And I will explain some things to you. God has to be with them. You must understand, in order to get the advantage in God, in life, God has to be with you. God has to be with you to have the advantage. It's the whole advantage because we were created to bear a yoke. I probably will get that, you know, later on. But we were created to bear a yoke. And this yoke caused us to reign and have dominion on the earth. And to be godlike gods on the earth. Verse 3. And it says, Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Watch this. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. Dear friends, in order to obtain anything, you must see it. If you want advantage, you have to be able to see beyond your eyesight. This is why, you know, we're the believers, you know, have the advantage. Because God will show you things. I'll never forget a few months ago, I was praying with somebody, and I was praying for their child. And as I was praying for the child, I saw about almost 10 years in the future. Now, you know, it's those who are not a believer, I know this, you know, you may not understand what I'm talking about. But believe me when I tell you, I saw almost 10 years in his life, and I could predict things that were going to happen. And I had to, you know, by the grace and the power of God, pray to stop certain things from happening and speak into his life and into his future to make those things happen. By the power of God. And I'm telling you this because to let you understand, we have the advantage. That's the advantage of the believer. You know, by the power and the grace of God, I was able to see in his future, to stop things from happening and make things happen that were God wanted to happen, but it would not have happened if God had not opened my eyes to see in the future. Dear friends, don't be asleep. We have the advantage. We have the advantage. So you must understand. This is what I tell you from the beginning of the show. Learn about spiritual sacrifices. Oh, dear friends, trust me. Learn about that. Without that, you cannot be effective. You cannot be effective. Without those spiritual sacrifices, you'll be watered down. And you'll be an ordinary believer without power. And dear friends, because of these things, when you know these things, you know, you understand, you know, a whole lot of stuff. And the devil just won't be able to get by with you. But if you don't take these things seriously, trust me, the enemy will make you ignorant. And oftentimes, when you become ignorant, you can be an enemy even of yourself, and you don't even know it. You can have an enemy, you know, close to you and not even know it. You can be a hindrance to yourself, and you don't even know it. Therefore, learn spiritual sacrifices, because we have the advantage. And your disadvantage is ignorance. Our disadvantage is ignorance. Paul said, for we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil, lest he gains advantage. So our ignorance gave the devil the advantage. Oh, dear friends, learn. Learn. Unfortunately, in our day, we are so, you know, we have a lot of people so want so much spiritual gifts. The powerful thing is, dear friends, it's good to have spiritual gifts. But when I got a taste of God, I wanted spiritual gifts, but I desire God. I want you to understand. I want you to hear that again. I wanted spiritual gifts, but I desire God. So I went after God. When you go after God, you get spiritual gifts. You know, let me tell you. Many people want spiritual gifts. It's good to have spiritual gifts, but spiritual gifts don't get you to heaven. I want the Spirit of God. I want the seventh Spirit of God. You know, that's what Jesus had. Jesus didn't have gifts. I want you to understand that. He operated in the gifts, but he didn't have gifts. The Bible says he poured his Spirit upon him without measure. Jesus had the Spirit of God. He didn't have gifts. He operated in the gifts, but had the Spirit of God. When you have the Spirit of God, that Spirit rests upon you, and you always are under the anointing. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. I'm not just talking to talk. I'm talking from experience. And that anointing is always upon you. And when you attach to that, trust me, your spirit is always alert. Even when you're sleeping, your spirit is alert. When people think evil of you, even in the closet, you know it. Someone can stand before you and smile and say one thing, and guess what? You already know what they're thinking. You already know what their heart is. People can laugh and joke with you. Trust me, you already know their heart. You know the words of people before they even say it. You know your enemies, even of those who desire to deceive you. What I'm talking about, the Spirit of God. If you read Isaiah chapter 11, talks of Jesus having the Spirit of God, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of the fear of God, the spirit of desire in the fear of God. Desire the spirit of God. And why, when you have that, folks, you have the advantage. And by that, you can speak whatever you want, and it shall happen. But you don't speak it just for speaking it. You speak with conviction. You are not moved by the flesh. You are moved by the spirit. So when your spirit is moved, then you speak. David said, I believe, therefore I speak. Many of us just want to speak because we desire. But David said, I believe, therefore I speak. When you are endowed with the Spirit of God, you speak what you believe. Oh, lest the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say what? Say, I am redeemed. Why are you saying it? Because I believe it. This is what I tell you. I know God is with me. It's a conviction. I know. What can men do unto me? I know God is with me. We have the advantage. Let me go on to read this portion. I'm still reading John chapter 3. And it says, in fact, let me read that again. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said in verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter and see, and he enter the second time, into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Notice, first Jesus said he cannot see, then he said he cannot enter. Trust me, folks, in order to possess something, you must be able to see it. Your sight gives you the advantage. Your sight makes you accurate to obtain. Your sight enables you to comprehend. In fact, it even goes on to say, I believe that Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10, talks about how when Isaiah went before the Lord the Bible talked about how God said, make these people prophesy and say, these people, let them hear but not comprehend, and their eyes should be shut, so that they would, in case that they get converted and I come and heal them. In order for you to comprehend something, you must see it. I never understood until the Lord actually opened my eyes. I was talking to my wife, and she talked about how I was trying to show her something, and she said, I can't. I was trying to talk to her. She said, I cannot hear you because I don't see you. It didn't make sense to me. She said, I cannot hear you because I don't see you. So I'm like, why do you need, to see me to hear me? And I got in my prayer closet and I prayed. I said, oh God, that don't make no sense to me. How can she say, I cannot hear you, and I cannot hear you because I don't see you? And then God, reminded me of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10. And it said, make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, let they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Even John talked about it. In John chapter 12, I believe it's verse 40. In fact, let's go there right quick. Let me read that. John chapter 12, verse 40. I believe it is. Yes, it is. And it says, in fact, let me start 39. Therefore, they could not believe because that Isaiah have said again, he have blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with the heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. So this is why a lot of people who don't believe in God, in the Bible, they cannot see it spiritually. It's not talking about a physical eyes. They cannot see it spiritually. And because they cannot see it spiritually, therefore they would not be able to comprehend it. So it would seem stupid to them. They won't be able to comprehend it. Because when they are able to see it with the spiritual eyes, then they will be able to comprehend it. And when they are able to comprehend it, then God is obligated to heal them, heal their spirit, and cause them to be reborn. But dear friends, we have the advantage. But I'm trying to get to that portion that I'm trying to get to in John chapter 3. So let's read on. I'm trying to get to a portion right here. And in verse 6, and it said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Verse 8, this is what I'm trying to get to. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Listed means wherever it wish. The wind blows wherever it wishes. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. This is what I tell you. When you have that Spirit of God attached to you, you know, you're operating by the Spirit with giftings. You're not operating with the gifting. I'm going to tell you, when you have the gift of the Spirit, it comes for a time and a season. This is why people who have the gifts of God, they will have meetings, and they operate in the Spirit or in the gifts in their meetings. But if you meet them at the house or at certain times in the day and you talk to them, pray, they can't operate in that, because they have to pray and let that gift come. You know, let the gift come and then they operate. You know, I'll tell you this thing. You know, Isaiah, the prophet, he got the gift of the prophet, and eventually he was drawn into the spirit of a prophet. When he got the mantle from Elijah, he got the gift. As he walked in it, he walked in the spirit of the prophet. Because it came a time he did not, you know, when you have the spirit, you start to operate any time in the day. Your spirit is always alert. It's always alive, even when you're sleeping. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. Even when you're sleeping, you see things. You know, your spirit is alive. You hear whisperings. You can hear, dear friends, believe me when I tell you, you can hear even what the devil is planning to do to you. You remember in, I believe, 2 Kings, when Elijah was always telling the king of Israel what his enemy was talking and planning, and he always averted the attack. And the enemy of Israel said Sodom, the king Sodom, his people, and said, "Let me know this day which one of you guys are on the side of the Israelites. Tell me." And they say, "None of us, king. But in Israel, there is a prophet that he even tells the king of Israel what you are saying in your bed chambers." So the king got upset. He said, "Oh, really? I will show this guy who am I." And he sent a bunch of chariots to go and capture Elijah because he's running his mouth. Because, why? He had ear to hear afar off. He had eyes to see what the eyes couldn't see. He had eyes to even see years ahead. I never forget, I went to prison. I went to the prison when I used to go. And while there, I saw this young Caucasian guy. And I saw, even in the year 2018, so this is the year, I was just thinking about that the other day. I saw in the year 2018 that this guy had an invention, and I told him what his invention was going to be. And I said, you know, even though you're in jail right now, but in 2018, you're going to have that invention. And, you know, I see you, and I describe what he was doing, and he confirmed, yeah, he liked computers. And he said, "Yeah, I like computers." And he was amazed because, you know, I could tell he was not a believer. He was just there because, you know, when you get in jail, a lot of people become humble. You know, so he didn't really believe, you know, but when I said what I said to him, you know, I got his attention. And he was so, "Okay, thank you. So I'm hoping eventually I see him sometime. I'm just kidding. You know, but that's what happens when you operate in that. You see, you have the advantage. Jesus said, "The wind blow wherever it wishes, wherever it listed." You hear the sound, you don't know where it's going, you know, or where it's coming from. And he goes on to say, "But can I tell when it cometh and where it goeth?" And he said, "Whether it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit." So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You are moved by Spirit to do what you desire. I'm telling you. The Bible says Jesus spoke to the fig tree. Now, I'm pretty sure when he did, the Bible says when he spoke to the fig tree, the disciples heard him. Guess who also heard him? The tree heard him. And when the tree heard him, the tree complied. That shows the tree heard what he said. We are not half of a show, dear friends. I have to stop right there and pause a little bit. And we're going to turn into our next song. And I love this song so much because it reminds me, you know, of a time in my life. And I love this song so much. And I've listened to Mandisa, who sings a lot of beautiful songs. And I've heard her story. She suffered with depression and other stuff. And little as you know, her songs touch so many people. And honestly, I was one of those least expect that her song, one of her songs, was going to touch me. And when this song did, in fact, she had a few songs that actually got to me. So we're going to listen to "Not Guilty" from Mandisa.
Thank you.
stand accused. There's a list a mile long of all my sins, of everything that I've done wrong. I'm so ashamed. There's nowhere left for me to hide. This is the day I'm a
powerful song. I was talking to somebody recently, probably like a few weeks ago, and they had some major decisions they had to make, something that they were not willing to do. And, you know, and he told me, he said, man, I struggle with this. I've been struggling with this for 4 years. He said, but I'm in the same place. And he said, I have to make a decision. And I told him, I said, brother, God is not mad at you. You know, you have life. You can bounce back again. Oh, my God. Bounce back again. And this time, bounce back harder. Learn from your mistake and bounce back. You know, and that's the powerful thing about our God.
is what you shall become. Don't stay in the rut. The Bible says that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our God and his Christ. You were created with a purpose. You are created for a purpose. And I tell you, dear friends, we have an advantage. And the advantage is to bring alive our spirit man. That's the advantage. Oh, turn with me. Thank you, Lord. Turn with me right quick to Ephesians. I love this portion so much. And in fact, I'm going to read it from verse 14. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Start at verse 14. And I start from verse 14 because I love how Paul spake it. And he said, for this cause I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now I want you to listen to me. In order for you to be strengthened, God have to grant that to you. Because for your inner man to be strengthened, you need supernatural power. You need supernatural power. This is what I tell you. In fact, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9, and it says, with the strength of man, Hannah said, no one can prevail. You will never prevail with your own strength, God's strength. That's what gives you the advantage. That's what gives me the advantage. It's the strength of God. It's the strength of God. And he said that you'll be strengthened with might. Of power by his Spirit in the inner man. That man, watch this, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So, oh, hallelujah, that power enable you to see and believe. And in fact, enable you that power that he strengthened you with. It renews and rejuvenates your entire being, that you will be able to see and comprehend, you know, Jesus Christ and receive him. And guess what? And believe him, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. So now when you know and understand Jesus, and you start to be developed in that love of God and be so rooted in it that that power that is rejuvenated in you by love, it works by love. And that power, in fact, verse 18 says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. Listen, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Hallelujah. So the more you are grounded in love, the more you grow in love, the more you understand God's love. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of God. That's really what it's talking about. Amy, do I add that there? Verse 19 says, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. The love of God cannot be understood by the human mind. And in fact, when you understand the love of God is not with your mind. You understand it with your mind in part, but you comprehend it in your spirit, but you really cannot totally explain it with your mouth. You can give people an understanding, but it passed our understanding. I'm telling you, dear friend. I'll never forget, you know, a few years ago, I asked the Lord to let me experience his love. And I tell you, it was probably, I experienced this for like 2 minutes. And in that 2 minutes, it seemed like I was going to die. The love so overwhelmed me that it literally, I felt my body could not handle that love. I kid you not. I felt I was going to die in about two seconds. My body could not handle that love. It's the love of God. And verse 19 says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. The fullness of God is love. If we can be filled with love, we can be filled with God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, for we don't know what we shall be, but when he appear and we see him, we know we shall be like him. When we see him, we know we shall be like him. Oh, the love of God. We have the advantage. And dear friends, this is why I tell you, the advantage that we have is that God is with us. And you want to have the advantage in life, you must learn to have God with you. One thing about God is not partial. God don't have favorites. We are all his creation. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3 says, God is a God of knowledge. With him, actions are weighed. You cannot deceive God. You cannot trick God. God is a God of knowledge. With him, actions are weighed. It's amazing that people would do a whole lot of stuff and thinking that they're going to get away with it, or thinking that God, they can deceive God. By, you can deceive man. You can deceive God. Dear friends, don't be fooled. You can never deceive God. God always weighing your actions. He's always weighing your actions. And this is what I tell you. The sad thing in our day, we have a lot of people seek after gifts. But not a lot of people want to go after the Spirit of God. I tell you today, seek after the Spirit of God. Because when you have the Spirit of God, you operate, you have that, you know, anointing day and night 24/7. You walk in that. You so much walk in it, people talk to you, you start seeing things. You so much in that spirit that you go places and start to see things. Don't be like people. Don't be like those who said, you know what, I used to be this spiritual. I used to see things. I used to. Don't be in the crowd of the used to. Be in the crowd of the being. Be in the crowd of the experience. Be in the crowd of the present tense. Don't be in the crowd of the used to. Guess what? Used to don't count. It's what you do today that matters. Strive, dear friends. Strive. You have the advantage if you know how to walk right. This is why the Bible says we should walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Why? Because it gives us the advantage. It gives us the advantage. There is a place that the Lord is going to take me several years from now. And I know what year it is. I've seen it. The Lord opened my eyes to see years from now. I know I will never get there. So I know I will never get there if I don't put certain things in perspective now. That I know. There's a place that God wants to take me. I know I will never get there unless I put some things in perspective now. And he has shown it to me years from now. And if I don't put things in perspective, and some of these decisions, they are hard to make. But if I don't, I would never get there. And if I never get there, it will actually be my fault. Dear friends, don't let nobody fool you. The sad thing is in our day, what politicians call free is redistribution. So when you hear a politician say free healthcare, free education, trust me, it's not free. Somebody's paying for it. Don't be fooled. There's nothing free in this earth. Jesus said, freely give, freely receive. Guess what? The disciples freely got, but guess what? They had to pay the price. Don't let no one fool you, tell you, oh, this is free. Oh, no, there's nothing free. It may be free for you, but somebody paid a price for it. Don't be fooled. The gifts of God, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But guess what? It's a free gift. But the Son had to pay a dear price. Everything in this world, price for it. And dear friends, walking with God, there's a price to pay. It's not easy. It's not cheap. Oh, it's easy to get. You're not going to get it right away. You have to pay the price. You have to pay the price for it. I'm going to tell you why. Because when you pay the price for it, you treasure it. You don't treat it cheaply. You treasure it. And I can tell you, I may talk in kind of like a parable, kind of. But let me read something to you. Let me read something to you. In 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter 6. Turn with me. I will show you something in there, in that portion. 2 Kings, chapter 6. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, I'm going to start with verse 5. And it said, but as one was willing a beam, the axe head fell into the water. Okay? The axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Now, there was one of the prophets that was with Elisha. He borrowed an axe, and while he was trying to cut down a tree branch over some water, the axe head fell off the stick that he had into the water. And when it fell into the water, he cried to the leader, Elijah, the prophet, and says, it was borrowed. So now he's thinking how he's going to return the axe, or he may have to pay for it. And verse 6 says, and the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. You see that? Elijah the prophet asked, where did the axe head fall? And he showed him, and he cut a stick and threw it in the water, and the axe head swam in the water. Now, how did Elijah know to do that? Because he was walking in the spirits, the spirit of a prophet. He did not have to call a minstrel. He did not have to bring music. No. The spirit of God rested on him. And he immediately, by knowledge, by wisdom, insight, he had the advantage. And cause the axe head to swim. Have you ever heard of an axe head swimming in the water? No. But this is what I'm telling you, dear friends. We have the advantage. And there's the advantage. When God created Adam and he had dominion, the purpose God created man was that we have dominion. And he says, you must dominate the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and everything. But the first thing you must dominate the earth. God decreed that the man dominate the earth and the waters. Why? We are 67% water. Our flesh is earth. Dear friends, in order to dominate your surroundings and wherever you go, you must first dominate and have dominion over the earth that you live in. You must learn to dominate your flesh. Dominate. Be master of your domain, like Seinfeld said. You must learn to be master of your domain. When you master your flesh, eventually you start to master everything around you. Because your flesh is the earth. When you start to dominate that, everything else start to comply. Everything in this world has ears. The Bible says, when Cain killed his brother Abel, the earth opened her mouth, received his blood, and the earth, God said, will refuse to give her fruit to Cain because he killed his brother. The earth decided that. I have less than 60 seconds left. I wanted to go into some stuff, but I don't have the time. I thank you for you being part of the show. Oh, I thank you for you being part of the show. Father, I pray, oh Lord, that they get this message today. And I pray that life be transformed and changed by the power of God and by the power of your dear Son in the name of Jesus Christ. If you have not known the Lord, if Jesus has not been that person in your life, oh, what you have to lose today? Say, Lord Jesus, please come into my life. I make you my Lord and Savior. You know, in Jesus' mighty name. See you again for another powerful show. And amen.